The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
And this is The Dory Monson Show Special Reports. Coming to you from Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. I'm glad you're with us. I think that this is, the more I dove into this topic, and I've spent a lot of time on this issue over the last 5 days or so. I took yesterday off to get a little eye surgery. I'll tell you about that later. But we have some very important stuff to get to. I said we'll come to you from the Carter Subaru Studio, I hope. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
So last Friday, we started hearing all sorts of talk about this horrifying new study about how many children are ending up in the ER because of COVID-19. It was quite alarming. And it also didn't ring true with me, but everybody was covering it. And what I've said about the vaccine from day one is that it should be every single person's individual choice. I do not fault anybody for getting the vaccine. I do not fault anybody for not getting the vaccine. I have said that if I had a child between the ages of 12 and 16, I would not have them get vaccinated because I just don't see any upside benefit and there are unknown risks. But I do not fault parents who choose to get their kids vaccinated. Here is what I think we should all be very wary of, and that is when there is obvious collusion between huge corporations, specifically Big Pharma, and politicians, and a media that is serving as just a megaphone for Big Pharma and for politicians. And this is what I find most disturbing of all, that as recently as a year and a half ago, if you had asked people, do you trust big pharmaceutical companies? They would have said overwhelmingly no. Because we know what has happened over the years when pharma has worked with physicians to get as many people hooked on opioids as possible. And why? Because it is a gigantic revenue driver for the pharmaceutical companies. And there are kickbacks provided to the doctors who prescribe the opioids for their patients. I don't think there are too many people who would have disagreed that that is a rather unholy alliance a year and a half ago. But now all of a sudden, because this has become a political issue, all of a sudden you have people who have decided that Big Pharma is our savior. They're our heroes. They would never do anything untoward. They would never do anything to harm individuals or society. They are as pure as the driven snow. And the politicians are telling us the same thing. And the media is saying the same thing. And we're coming up with catchy phrases like joints for jabs. Have a joint and smoke a product that attacks the respiratory system to save you from a disease that attacks the respiratory system. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Why don't they just give out a pack of Marlboros if you get vaccinated? Okay, separate issue, but you can see how ridiculous this is all getting. And when it's gotten the very most ridiculous was, as I said, last Friday, when I started hearing all of these news stories that simply did not ring true with me at all. They were news stories that was talking about how kids who were unvaccinated, 12 to 16 years old, were ending up in the hospital at shocking rates. And so when you started listening to all of the story after story about this, it got very frightening. Jay Inslee said, well, we got to get up to 70% of people vaccinated now.
We are hopeful that, you know, in the near future, we can hit that 70% number.
And that's because every vaccination helps.
We're making progress on that. Every additional person who gets vaccinated makes us closer to the ability to fully reopen our state.
Okay. So do we need 12 to 16-year-olds to get vaccinated? Is that a necessity from a public health perspective or from a personal health perspective? And it's my argument that the answer is no. No kid without a comorbidity. The Spokesman Review had to retract a story just last week. They said that a child in the Eastern Washington had died from COVID-19. They had to retract that story. There's one kid in Puyallup who died who had some comorbidities, but there is not one case of a healthy child in Washington State dying from COVID-19. And so what we're seeing now is a tremendous push to get 12 to 19-year-olds vaccinated. So why is this? And it all started last Friday with the networks, NBC's Today Show.
Tonight, the CDC urging parents to get their teens vaccinated. An increase in hospitalizations in March and April leading to the new push.
I feel safer now.
Researchers note there have been no deaths, but say the increase in hospitalizations might be related to new variants, plus a larger number of teens now interacting. Right now, young people 12 to 15 can get the vaccine. And health experts want to make sure those teens don't fall into the same trap as some adults who still choose not to get their shots.
Okay, so in other words, the media is telling the parents that the politicians in Big Pharma say you must get your 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old vaccinated. Now, did you notice? This is a story that was done last Friday. So we're talking about on June 4th. Let me play the very beginning of that report for you again, because this is very important, and it is an issue that nobody else in the media has talked about.
Tonight, the CDC urging parents to get their teens vaccinated. An increase in hospitalizations in March and April leading to the new push.
Whoa. An increase in hospitalizations in March and April are the reason we are sending out an urgent message on June 4th as to why we have to get children vaccinated. I'll get back to that in just a moment, but hold on to that. A report from last March and April. NBC talked more about this. It was quite hysterical.
And in Washington State, public health officials raising the alarm among those ages 45 to 64. Hospital admission rates are 21 times higher for the unvaccinated.
Dr. Gupta, give us the reality check on the unvaccinated in your hospital.
It is to the tune of 95% or higher. The individuals that are coming into the hospital with COVID, especially into the intensive care unit where I see these patients, they are not vaccinated.
Okay, I don't know how journalistically sound that is. The headline of the story was that there was a study in March and April that unvaccinated teens were ending up in ERs. And then they said, well, and among 45-plus, people are ending up in the hospital as well. Now listen to the chat between the NBC reporter and anchor.
And still, Tom, there are people who aren't getting vaccinated.
Kate, persuading the unvaccinated is getting harder and harder. With mass vaccination sites starting to close and incentives still being passed up, it's unclear what, if anything, will motivate those millions of eligible Americans to get their shots.
So in other words, NBC is basically telling Americans that if you don't get vaccinated or if you don't get your children vaccinated, that you're a moron. I mean, and nothing's going to convince these people. Notice again, Good Morning America, last Friday, talking about the same study that was sent out with such urgency about teenagers ending up in the ER.
Concerning new CDC report about kids and COVID, it shows that a significant number of teens who get sick with the virus end up in the ICU.
Right now, CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky is calling the data troubling and stressing how important it is for young people to get vaccinated.
Troubling. Scary. Okay, let me explain to you why this is one of the most, not just journalistically unsound, but this is one of the biggest pieces of propaganda. And I'm trying not to be hyperbolic here, but I truly believe that this is one of the greatest bits of media, government, corporate propaganda that I have ever seen in my lifetime. I truly believe that this is one of the most important stories that we've covered in our lifetime. So let me go to the actual study that all of these networks are referring to. And let me give you the numbers that they refuse to give you as part of their study. So what they talked about is in March and April, there was a tremendous spike of kids in the ER. Now, when was this study conducted? It started on March 1st and it ended on April 24th. Now, you might be asking, you should be asking, why would a study end on April 24th? Why would they pick that date to end this study? And if you go back and look, it's a Saturday. But why didn't they go till the end of April and say from March 1st to April 31st? I guess April is 30 days. Okay. But why didn't they say from March 1st to April 30th? Why did they end it on April 24th? Well, I went and found the study that all of the networks are talking about. And what it shows is that in the 12 to 17 year age group, on March 1st of this year, if kids got COVID, roughly 7 out of 1 million kids who got COVID ended up in the hospital. 7 out of 1 million. None of them died. None of them got that sicky. Well, a couple ended up on ventilators. But it was 7 out of 1 million. Okay, now, what is this dramatic spike that they're talking about? Let's go to the end date of this alarming new study, April 24th. That is when 13 kids out of 1 million went to the hospital. 13 out of 1 million. Statistically, almost zero, still. So why did they end it on April 24th? Well, because beginning on April 25th, the numbers started dropping dramatically. And within 2 weeks, they were back at March 1st levels. In other words, there was a teensy, tiny little blip in kids going to the hospital. And again, 7 out of a million at the beginning, 13 out of a million on April 24th. Now, again, let's listen to how ABC News characterized this. Let me play you the same soundbite now that you know the actual numbers.
Concerning new CDC report about kids and COVID, it shows that a significant number of teens who get sick with the virus end up in the ICU.
Right. Okay, let's check that. A significant number of kids who get the virus end up in the ICU. Does that sound significant to you? 13 out of 1 million? Is that a significant number of children? The fact that 999,987 out of a million don't end up in the hospital? Most of them don't get sick at all? Is that really a significant new number worthy of lead story? That's how Good Morning America led their Friday morning show, 7 a.m. last Friday. A dramatic, startling new numbers coming out from April 24th.
Concerning new CDC report about kids and COVID, it shows that a significant number of teens who get sick with the virus end up in the ICU.
Right now, CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky is calling the data troubling and stressing how important it is for young people to get vaccinated.
Okay, so this is all about one thing and one thing only. It's troubling. It's scary. Parents, your children might die. What kind of a horrible parent are you that you don't get your kid vaccinated? Maybe you can get them a joint for a jab, too, so they can relax a little bit along the way on their pathway to oblivion that COVID provides. It went from 7 out of a million to 13 out of a million. How is that a lead story? Well, it's a lead story if Big Pharma has decided that they need to make a lot and a lot and a lot of money by vaccinating children. And Good Morning America went on and on.
More children are heading into those summer camps, and as more families are traveling this summer, the CDC here in Atlanta is trying to get the message to parents that if your child is eligible for a vaccine, you should get that child vaccinated.
To make their point clearly and underline the need for more teenagers to get vaccinated, health officials at the CDC this morning are releasing a new report today on children who get sick with the coronavirus.
They're releasing a new report that's 2 months old, that has cherry-picked dates, ending on April 24th. Tell us more. This sounds really statistically and scientifically valid to me.
And the CDC director is already calling the new information troubling. The scientists are warning parents this morning that in the month leading up to the Pfizer vaccine's authorization for use with children 12 and up, the CDC observed troubling data about adolescents who got sick with COVID-19 and had to be hospitalized.
How often do they get the word troubling in? If you're a parent and you're not troubled by this, well, then you are a horrible parent, aren't you? So, statistically meaningless number with cherry-picked dates. Oh, go on. Let's lay on the troubling data.
More concerning were the number of adolescents admitted to the hospital who required treatment in the intensive care unit with mechanical ventilation.
Their concerns are that a significant number of teenagers who get sick enough to be hospitalized are ending up in the ICU.
A significant number. Again, I am going from three-week moving average COVID-19 associated hospitalization rates among children and adolescents from the CDC website. 7 out of a million, March 1st. 13 out of a million, April 24th. And then it plummets after that. And that's the reason that Jay Inslee wants to target those age groups to get vaccinated? Why we're going to give them a bunch of free stuff? Because of all this troubling data?
We're also providing $1 million for higher education tuition costs. We're providing funding for public four-year universities and two-year community and technical colleges.
Yeah, because we got to get these troubling numbers down. What is happening here? I'm going to take a quick time out. I'm going to spend at least the whole hour on this because I'm going to give you data that you're not going to hear anyplace else. And I'm going to stay with this because as long as it takes to unspool all of this. Because, again, I'm not saying that it is a problem if you get your kid vaccinated. I don't think you're a horrible parent if you get your kid vaccinated. But if you're doing it because big pharma and politicians and the media are scaring you to do something that you otherwise would not do, then we have a genuine scandal on our hands here. And so let's talk about the profit factor. Let's talk about what the pharmaceutical companies are telling their investors about all of this. I'm going to take a quick time out. We're going to check the news for you. And then the Dory Monson Show special report. Big pharma, politicians, media colluding for an absolutely phony message. I will post all of these data points that I'm giving you. Every story that I'm using, we will get all of it posted, and you can see for yourself exactly what I'm basing this hour, 2 hours, however long it takes. But I will do whatever it takes to make sure that you have some information that isn't going through the filter of some people who are in it for nothing but money and not for the health of our society or of your children. Lots more to come. An exclusive edition of the Dory Monson Show.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Yeah, we're going to continue all hour with Dory Monson Show special report. I've always thought of our role in the media as to be a watchdog of government, to make sure that government isn't passing on bogus information to us for bad reasons. And as we've proven, I think, in the first half hour today, what happened this last week where the CDC cited an alarming new study that shows the teenagers who get COVID are ending up in the ER. They didn't tell us that the new study was a month and a half old, that they arbitrarily cut the new study off on April 24th, because that's when, after a very temporary blip upward, it reverted back to normal. They didn't tell us any of those things. And they didn't tell us how tiny the numbers are, that it was roughly 7 out of every million kids who got COVID-19 at the beginning of the study ended up in the hospital. 7 out of a million. And the alarming new study showed that it went to 13 out of a million. Still statistically almost zero. So why? Is it possible that our government is working in concert with the pharmaceutical companies to provide them as much profit as possible, to provide them a marketplace that right now is untapped? Let's go into that aspect of this story. The CDC director is Rochelle Walensky, and on March 29th, oh, right in the middle of all this, she was warning us of impending doom.
I'm going to pause here. I'm going to lose the script. And I'm going to reflect on the recurring feeling I have of impending doom.
Impending doom, she was telling us, right as things were starting to get better. Okay, and then they found a three-week arbitrary cutoff date where they could say that there was almost a 100% increase, not saying that it went only from 7 out of a million to 13 out of a million. So let's move on to the pharmaceutical company aspect of all of this. The CEO of Moderna, he was talking with CNBC around the same time, and they have to figure out now how they can milk this for as much money as is possible. And a way to do that is they've been telling us that they need us to get boosters, just like the flu shot, that the COVID-19 booster is going to be necessary for us every single year. And my goodness, that is going to cost a lot of money. But here is the CEO of Moderna talking about how we'll need to get a second, third, maybe even a fourth shot.
I'm going to pause here. I'm going to lose the script.
No, that's not her. This is him.
We think that the virus is going to continue to evolve. We have said now for more than 6 months that boosting is going to be important. As you know, we're in the clinic. We have not one, not two, but three boosting strategy. We might need a fourth one as we learn more about the Indian variant.
Yeah, we're going to have to get as many shots as possible, each one of which costs an awful lot of money. Because you see, the pharmaceutical companies are making an absolute fortune off of all of this. They're making billions and billions of dollars. And that's what they were talking about in the conference calls, the first quarter conference calls with CNBC and with their investors. The massive revenues, let me give those to you right now, because I want to make sure that you understand just how much money is at stake right here. And this is why I think everybody else in the media should be keeping an eye on this the way we are, that they should be watchdogging this the way we are, instead of just passing on breathless, ridiculous press releases that cite hand cherry-picked dates from 2 months ago to make a case. Okay, so how are the companies doing? Well, Moderna, with its vaccine rollout, pulled in $1.7 billion. But they're just getting started. Also, Pfizer. Pfizer is making about $4 billion on their COVID. Let me be precise. Pfizer posted a $3.5 billion COVID-19 vaccine sales during just the first quarter. But both Moderna and Pfizer have increased their anticipated 2021 revenues. Now, how can that be if we're all getting vaccinated? The market's drying up, right? If we're all getting vaccinated, then the COVID-19 is going to eventually go away, right? No, no, no. As the CEO of Moderna tells us, the big profit potential is with not just the 12 to 16-year-old kids, but also the Southern Hemisphere.
As we're going into the Southern Hemisphere right now, they're getting into their fall and their winter. There are so many people. They live in much more density into houses. And a lot of people are immunocompromised, you know, HIV positive. So we think that we're going to see more variants that unfortunately they're going to come back in the Northern Hemisphere next season. And because of waning immunity, as has been shown by now several academic labs like Professor Davenport in Australia, predicts that, you know, in a year's time, 9 months, a year's time after first dosing, you might have 20-30% efficacy.
Ah, only 20-30% efficacy because the variants are going to get tougher. But you see, just like a heroin addict who has to keep increasing the amount of heroin they use just so that they can feel a high or at least avoid a crash, when you have major corporations that have seen billions of dollars in unanticipated revenues, at least as of a couple of years ago, when nobody had heard of COVID-19, but you have Moderna with $1.7 billion in just the first quarter. You have Pfizer with $3.5 billion in just the first quarter. Now they got to figure out, how are you going to keep that up? Well, again, Southern Hemisphere, you just heard it, where there's greater density, those people are going to need the vaccines. And so they can go out and they can sell the vaccines. I mean, this guy has sold vaccines to Brockway, Ogdenville, and North Haverbrook. And by gum, it worked out. They put those towns on the map. So why won't it work for every town in the Southern Hemisphere, for crying out loud? And so here's the message from Moderna telling investors, take note, because I have governments calling me every day, and we're going to just keep boosting those revenues.
On the one hand, the science, and on the other hand, is indeed governments. In the last 30-plus days, I got numerous calls per day from governments around the world saying, look, when we look at the different options available to us, when we look at high efficacy, good tolerability profile, no side effects, we look at manufacturing ability to scale and deliver, and we look at speed to chase the variants, we believe mRNA is the best technology. And that's what we're hearing every day.
They're not talking much about public health, are they? They're not talking much about saving the planet. They're talking about how they're going to sustain revenues. And with the help of ABC, NBC, CBS, with the help of CNN and MSNBC, the New York Times, the Washington Post, well, they're going to figure out a way. And let's make kids and parents hysterical about kids ending up in the ER. That's another way to sustain growth. I'm going to continue with this topic. We're going to go at least the whole hour with this because I want to make sure you know exactly what's going on. And I know we're breaking our usual format, but this is important. It is Dory Monson Show special report on this unholy alliance between the pharmaceutical companies, government, and the media. And we will continue with much more. And coming up next, we're going to talk about what another president of Moderna is saying, the work they have to do to keep the revenue stream going. That's coming up as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
As I said, I'm going to continue for as long as it takes. The more, and I'm getting a lot of very, very nice messages on the text line. I really appreciate it. And yes, we put a tremendous amount of research. I spent probably 40 hours researching this, and I was off yesterday after my cataract surgery. But I was amazed the deeper I got into this, how disgusted I got with what the media has done to just echo a message from Big Pharma. And the fact that people trust Big Pharma, all of a sudden, it's become this rallying cry along political lines, which I just do not understand. If you are just joining us, last Friday, there was a rather hysterical message that every single media outlet was leading their newscasts above the fold in the papers, number one story on the radio about this alarming new CDC study that used very old data.
Concerning new CDC report about kids and COVID, it shows that a significant number of teens who get sick with the virus end up in the ICU.
Right now, CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky is calling the data troubling and stressing how important it is for young people to get vaccinated.
So if you are just joining us, the data was cherry-picked with a beginning and start date of March 1st and April 24th. because beginning on April 25th, the numbers got much, much better. So the only way you could make the numbers look bad was if you ended on April 24th. The numbers that are so startling and troubling, you had at the beginning of the study, 7 out of every million kids who got COVID, 7 out of 1 million ended up going to the hospital. On April 24th, it was 13 out of every million. And then within a couple of weeks, it was back down to 7 out of a million and reverted to the normal numbers. Now, nobody else in the media was digging into the numbers like that. And I don't know why. I don't know why, because if you choose to do this for a living, you shouldn't just parrot what everybody else says. You shouldn't just repeat what government tells you to say. You should have a little bit of pride in what you provide for your listeners, for your viewers, for your readers. And you should dig into these numbers. And so, yes, I appreciate everybody who has said really nice things about, you know, the obvious amount of time that we've spent digging into all of this. So let's get back. If I wrap this up by the top of the hour, great. If not, I'm going to take it into the next hour because I want to make sure you understand exactly what's going on. Now, back in November of 2020, another president of CEO, Stephen Hodge, he said something that very few people even know, and it is still the case today, that the vaccinations that they are giving to you and to your kids, they are still not FDA approved.
But we still need to complete the regulatory process, which involves completing the study and generating more data, even some follow-up and safety data.
Okay, and I got the vaccine. I knew all of this, even though that Moderna made me sicker than a dog. But, you know, we should be able to put up with a few flu symptoms if it'll save our lives.
The profile matches other approved vaccines out there that provide a significant benefit. And so we're hopeful that most people will still get the vaccine, even with a couple of those days of flu-like symptoms that sometimes come, because the benefit this vaccine provides is a protection from COVID-19 disease.
I believe that that is true for somebody my age, certainly for somebody older than me, that it provides a protection. And it's worth it to get the flu-like symptoms. It's worth it for me and for people my age, in my view. I think everybody should make up their own mind. But it's worth it for me to take some that's not yet FDA approved if it'll save my life. Kids are not dying from this. Kids aren't getting sick very much from it. They had to use, if this was such a necessary thing for 12 to 16-year-olds, why would they have had to have cherry-picked the beginning and start date the way they did for this alarming study that turns out isn't even alarming if you actually look at the numbers? But they are just desperate. They're excited to get the kids vaccinated.
This is exciting news. We know that 1.5 million adolescents have been infected with COVID-19 since this pandemic started, and not all of them have fared as well as most. And some of them have even ended up with this long COVID where they're not better, even weeks or months after getting ill. So we really want to protect adolescents. And more than that, adolescents have been taken out of social circles, out of school sports programs, out of going to the prom, out of hanging with their friends. This is a way to get us back to normal and well in advance of getting the school season started.
That was on CNBC. Okay, let's go into that a little bit. The suicides, the overdoses that have counterbalanced all the life-saving. This is kind of unprecedented for our radio show, but I'm going to continue with our exclusive special report after we check the news for you here on the Dory Monson Show.